looks like we're all set. Everybody got handouts. Hopefully there was enough. Let's open our Bibles once again to the book of Jude. Several threes that you find in this book. For example, there were three apostasies in verses 5 to 7. We've got three things that apostates do in verse number 8. There's three false men set forth as examples in verse 11. And three Old Testament believers set forth as examples in verse 9 and verse 14. All right, so what we'll do, we'll go back to verse number 1 so to make sure we have the context here. And we'll read up to our verse number 5 today. Verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. All right, so very clearly he's writing to saved people. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me. Okay, so these saved people have a need. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Okay, well, now the champion has to fight to win his title belt if there is a contender. Okay, if there's no contender, well, then there's no need to fight. Now, the very fact that we are told that we must earnestly contend for the faith tells us that there are going to be some people who are going to try to fight against us and try to overthrow us or overthrow our faith in the Lord. Verse number 4, who are these people that will fight against us? For there are certain men. Okay, so we're not worried about the devil. We're not worried about unclean spirits. We're talking about men. Certain men crept in unawares. That tells us we're not worried about men outside of the church house. We're not worried about anyone out there. We're worried about those men inside the church house. They have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Okay, now, here's the whole underlying principle of the operation right here. Turning the grace of our God. Okay, God saves by grace. He keeps by grace. We read that in the first three verses. But they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. These men, they creep in and they tell you that since you're saved by grace and you're kept by grace, well, you can just go ahead and live in sin and it won't make any difference. God won't care because he's a God of grace. Bible book of Jude is written to warn you about these men and to exhort you to stay away from them. Then the scripture says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these, okay, these are like those. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would be in this message today. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to be on guard. Show us what to watch out for. And Lord, we thank you for the warnings that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now notice, we're given three examples of people who believed and were then destroyed. We are given three examples of people who had the word and rejected the word and were doomed as a result of that unbelief. These three examples are given, we saw in verses 1 and 2, they're given to saved people. Okay, you can be saved for heaven, saved for heaven, and destroyed on this earth. Okay, you can be preserved in Christ and yet be rotten in your body of flesh. Okay, maybe you're thinking of somebody. That's what the book of Jude is all about. Okay, now notice these men, they have a problem in verse number 4. They have a problem with the Lord God. Okay, these men were opposed in verse number 4 to the Lord Jesus Christ. These men have a controversy in verse number 5 with the Lord, who having saved the people, now he wanted to run their lives. They don't want that. They don't want the Lord to run their lives. They wanted a Savior, yes. They did not want a Lord. In verse number 8, if you listen to these men, you're going to end up doing what these men do. If you follow their example, you're going to end up living the way they live. What characterizes their life? Number one, they defile the flesh. They make it dirty. Number two, they despise dominion. They instantly set themselves against anyone that tries to tell them what to do. Despise dominion. They like mom, as long as mom doesn't try to give them instructions. Dad's a great guy until dad says, do this. The preacher, we got a great preacher until he puts his finger on something in our life. They despise it. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. And then the third thing about these men, they speak evil about dignities. Anybody that's living right and doing right, these men have nothing good to say about them. Now, you don't want to follow the example of that crowd. The Bible says these men are always trying to creep in amongst the believers and corrupt them. So today we're going to look at the first of these three examples, the children of Israel that came out of the land of Egypt. And then next time we'll look at the example of Sodom and Gomorrah from verse number 7. And then, Lord willing, we may look at verse number 6, the example of the angels that fell. But today, verse number 5, the scripture says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Okay, so you need to remember this. Though you once knew this, because we tend to forget, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Okay, now, how did God save the people out of the land of Egypt? You say, well, by the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's good, but that came at the end of God's working to save those people. See, remember, God first sent 10 plagues, 10 judgments upon the land of Egypt for their wickedness. At the end of that 10th plague, as God came through on Passover night and he saw the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, listen, he did not deliver the people. He first brought a 10th judgment on Egypt. That judgment did not fall upon the Israelite people because they believed. He then led them out of Egypt. All right, before God led them out, he left them there to witness 10 judgments upon the Egyptians for their unbelief. Then the scripture says in verse number 5, afterward, after God saved the people. He's writing to saved people, people who've been saved. Are you saved? Okay, so here's the example. Don't let this happen to you after you're saved. That's verse 5. That's what it's all about. Afterward, destroyed them that believed not. Now, when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave me eternal life in heaven when I die. That's his promise. But if I fail to believe God for these matters of time, you know, I've believed God for eternity, okay? But if I fail to believe God for matters of time, I will reap God's judgment in time, okay? Now, I'm not going to reap God's judgment in eternity because I believed God regarding eternity. I hope you're staying with me here. But this Bible, it's a big book. It's a big book, and not much of it is about heaven. Most of it, it's about earth. I'm free from God's judgments in eternity because I have believed what God said regarding eternity. Now, if I don't believe what God said regarding time, my time on this earth, okay, I am not going to escape God's judgments regarding time. So the Bible says here in the verse in Jude 5, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Okay? Let's go to Numbers now, the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Book of Numbers, chapter 11. So we're going to go back and take a look at the destruction mentioned in Jude of saved people. And we're going to take a look at a number of passages in this book of Numbers today, and I'll tell you why. The children of Israel saw 10 judgments on Egypt. When they got out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God, saving and delivering them, they spent 38 years in the wilderness in unbelief. And as a result of that unbelief, Numbers records 10 judgments of God upon the Israelite people. Now, when God says in Jude 5, remember Israel in the wilderness, you know what he's saying? If you live in unbelief, your life in this world will be no different than the life of someone who doesn't even know the Lord. Your life will be the same as the enemies of God. If you live like his enemies, you're going to be treated like his enemies. If you live like the unbeliever, you'll be treated like an unbeliever. You say, I don't care as long as I go to heaven. Well, you're talking like a crazy person. The only people who say that are the people who haven't had the judgment of God fall on them yet. All right, let's take a look at this. Numbers chapter 11. Here's the first of the 10 plagues we'll look at, or 10 judgments that fall on believers. The blood-bought believers. Were they redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? They were. That's how God got them out of Egypt. Did he baptize them at the Red Sea? That's what the Bible says in Corinthians. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1. And when the people complained, you say, well, you know, I don't do anything all that bad, according to you or according to God, see. I mean, real bad by whose standards? What do you count as real bad? Okay. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. You think complaining's not so bad? It is to God. Okay, now who is Jude dealing with? The Lord. Who is displeased in Numbers 11? The Lord. Now, it's amazing how Jude and Numbers go together. They tie in together. You know why they're complaining? Because they don't think God is doing things right. And that displeases the Lord. It's not the complaining that displeases the Lord. It's hearing a man testify by that complaint. If I was God, I'd do a better job. And the Lord is displeased because those people in their heart are no different than Pharaoh. I'm in charge. All right, let's continue. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Okay, so look again. They're in the camp. They are part of the redeemed people on their way to the promised land. But the fire of God came down and burned them up. Just as surely as the plagues came down on the Egyptians who didn't know God. And destroyed them because of their unbelief. When the children of Israel manifested unbelief in the lordship of the God that saved them, he sends a fire down and burns them up. They're dead in their tents, in their Israelite tents. They're dead in their tents, in their blood protected tents. They're dead in their tents. They're on the way to the promised land. Tents. They're dead in their tents because they were living like unbelievers, even though they were believers. All right, secondly, come to Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 4. Numbers 11, verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them, okay, that tells us some Egyptians got under that blood and came out with them, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Oh, I remember how I used to go down to the bar at night and have a good time. The cucumbers, I remember how we used to hang out down there at the pool halls. And the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And we used to have such a good time down there at the dance clubs." You know what they're doing? They're saved. But in their heart, they're resenting the fact that God took them out of the life that they were comfortable living. They want to be saved, but they want to live like the Egyptians. They're saved, but they want to live just like they lived when they were in bondage. Now, they are believers as regards the blood and redemption and getting out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land. But as far as their heart is concerned, there's no difference between them and the Egyptians. Verse number 6. "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Oh, we got nothing but the blessings of God from heaven. All we got is this Bible and church and praying. And for fun, we go out and talk about Jesus. That's all we got." Now, you know something? This is a good church. Good people here. But there's some people. There's some people here, and that's you think that same way, what we just looked at. That's exactly how you think. You want to go to heaven, but you sure want to live in this world between now and then. And if all you got to do, if all mom lets you do and all dad lets you do are right things and clean things and holy things, you despise their dominion. It's just that way. Verse 7. "And the manna was," okay, and he describes it, tells about what it was like. Verse 10. "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent." Boy, wouldn't you like to pastor that bunch? Bunch of men crying. "What's the matter? Did somebody die? No, but I miss my TV. Yeah, man. I miss the leeks and the onions. I just wish I had one of them, one of those Egyptian melons. Yeah, man, grown man crying because they can't get an onion. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, the things that saved people lust after, they sound crazy to people who are sold out to the Lord. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And then Moses complains to the Lord in verse 12. He says, I don't want anything more to do with it. I resign. All right, scoot on down to verse 30 now. Verse number 30. And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high, about 2 meters deep in quail upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever forsake the Lord and you go after the flesh, you will go after that flesh with a vengeance. A saved man who goes after the world is going to get deeper into the world than he ever got before he was saved. There's just something about that rebellion that has built up over all those years, and that resentment of the Lord and that desire for the things of the flesh. I'm just telling you, when a saved man gets away from God, you better get out of his way, because it's going to get ugly. It's going to be ugly. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. That's 80 bushels. 80 bushels. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. They're just making these piles of quails all over the place. 33, and when the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, before they even were able to chew the meat, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hatava, because there they buried the people that lusted. Now listen, there's several things to note here. These are saved people. And when they wanted, listen, when they wanted something other than what God had given them, God said, all right, you want it? I'll give it to you. He didn't stop them. Did you know there are people who sit at church and at home, and this is what they reason in their minds? If God doesn't want me to do it, he'll stop me. You cannot find one time in this Bible where he ever stopped somebody. Do you want to die a drunk? God is not going to stop you. Do you want to die a cocaine addict? God is not going to stop you. You want to die of an STD? God's not going to stop you. If you want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Numbers chapter 11 says God might even help you to do it. The scripture says in one place that God let David alone to try him and see what he would do. You say, well, I got to thinking about that thing, and the preacher said, you know, that thing I wanted to do, and the preacher said that it was wrong. So, well, I prayed, and I said, God, if you don't want me to do this, all you got to do is stop me. And, well, God didn't stop me, so I guess that means it's okay. I guess you're nuts. Listen, he is the Lord. But he is not going to force you to submit to his lordship. Amen. Now, what they wanted is what killed them. what they wanted killed them. God didn't stop them. Were they redeemed by the blood? They sure were. Did they get out of Egypt on Passover night? Yes, they did. Did they die in the wilderness? Absolutely. Dead. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Okay, it's almost like the Lord knew people would read that and say, what? And so the Holy Spirit said, yeah, he married an Ethiopian woman. Sure enough, Moses had a wife down there in Africa. And people got to talking about it. Verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now you know what these people did. I'm not pleading for a favor today. I'm just teaching the Bible. They used what they perceived to be a transgression on the part of the preacher to reject his leadership and reject what he taught them about God. Verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. All right, now I'm going to say something else too. This work, this ministry, this church was not built by one man. You know that if you've been around for a while. And we've accomplished what we've accomplished because God has given us some great men, great women to stand behind this preacher and back him up. But I'm going to say something out of this passage because it's true. To those people, the closer you get to the leader that God has raised up, the more you're going to find out he's just a man just like you are. And when you get in the flesh instead of in the spirit, you're going to be tempted to use that knowledge to rise up against the leadership that God has set up. How many churches have you heard of that were split and torn up by a song leader or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon as compared to the guy in row number 5 that just shows up for church once a week? You know, it's almost always a right-hand man or a dear trusted friend of the preacher who's going to do the damage. And if you could ever get that guy to confess what was going on, you'll find out that he found out enough about that preacher to realize, well, he's not everything I thought he was. Well, no kidding. But Aaron and Miriam, look, they knew all about Moses, and they had what seemed like a valid complaint about him. And when in their heart they got their eyes off of the Lord and they got occupied with Moses' transgression, that led them to their own transgression. And so here's a warning. You need to be careful about that thing. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Verse number 6. And he said, hear now my words. This is God speaking. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Okay, so here God differentiates between other prophets and Moses here. He says in verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He says, I don't have an intermediary. I don't need somebody to speak for me to Moses. I speak directly to Moses. End of verse 8. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. He departed. That's the Lord there. God just abandoned two people that he's redeemed. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord. Do you think Moses did that? Do you know why Aaron thought that? Because he saw what God used Moses to do to Pharaoh. Okay? I mean, do you think Moses is the one that put the leprosy on Miriam? Aaron seems to think so, right? And that's because he saw God using Moses to do those plagues upon Pharaoh. Okay? And so Aaron, he's realizing all of a sudden, man, we're in the same boat as the Egyptians. We're getting smitten with plagues because of our unbelief. And so he says, lay not the sin of us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be, look, as one dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive forevermore. But if my heart is not right with God, I can be as one dead. I can be just like a man dead in trespasses and sins, as far as my relationship to God is concerned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Okay, so a third time, God sends a judgment upon the unbelieving Israelites. Listen, I'm just reading you this because God said to us in the book of Jude, we need to remember what happened to the Israelites. So I'm just doing what God said to do. All right, go to Numbers chapter 14. Turn in the page. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 28. Numbers 14, 28. Do you notice, young people, wives, husbands, church members, citizens, so far, everything we've seen has been a heart problem that came out of the mouth. That's what it's all about. Numbers 14, let's actually back up to verse 26 here. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save, here's some exceptions, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Okay, why? Because they're the only ones that kept believing after they got out of Egypt. The rest of them quit believing God after they got out of Egypt. And as a result, the judgments of God fell upon them. Verse 35, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Did you know that today, saved people, are against God? Well, don't be shocked. Every one of us in the last 2 months, at some time or another, has been against God. Something that God said, thou shalt not, and we went ahead and we did it. Something God said, thou shalt, and we didn't want to do it, so we didn't do it. Why? Okay, we didn't believe him. So the Lord, he's given us a warning with examples. Okay, number 5. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 37. Numbers 14:37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died in the plague before the Lord. Now, God said, that's a good land. These men came back and said, that's a bad land. God said, you can go up and take the land. These men came back and said, we can't take that land. God said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. These men, they came back, said, ha, it's full of giants, man. God said, it's a fruitful land. These men, they came back and said, we're going to die out there. You know what the Bible warned you about in the book of Jude? The Bible warned you about people sitting in the church house that when the preacher said, if you sell out to God and you live for the Lord, you're going to be blessed. You'll be happy. It'll be the best thing you could ever do. And somebody comes along beside you and says, I tried that, man. And boy, I tell you, talk about trouble, man. We had nothing but trouble. I mean, it's all right to come to church and all of that, sure, but I wouldn't go all out like that preacher's talking about. I mean, it's all right to come to church, but I did what he said. He said, go out there to your job and witness, and I did that, and I got fired. So, I wouldn't do what he said. So, you know what God said? You better watch out for men that come back and tell you something about tomorrow that doesn't match what God said about tomorrow. Who tell you something different about what God has laid out for you than what God said he's got laid out for you. Because if you fall in with that crowd, the judgment of God is going to fall on you and them. You know there's people like that in church. So God says, watch out. All right, number 6. Look at chapter 16, number 16. Here's a good one. Chapter 16, Korah. And we'll be looking at him in more detail later in Jude, because he's one of the men that God picked out that he wants us to concentrate on. But let's start at verse number 1 in number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Levi, he's a priest, isn't he? And Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. Now, do you know what that word assembly is in the New Testament? It's church. They're redeemed by the blood. They're baptized into Moses. They're on their way to the promised land, and they are in the assembly. We're not worried about the Egyptians here. We're not worried about the Babylonians here. We're not worried about Philistines here. In Numbers, the problem is inside the congregation. That's what Jude is warning you about. Look, princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. When a guy starts bragging about being holy, just mark it down, he's not. When a man starts saying, I'm just as good as the next guy, in fact, I'm just as good as you, that fella's got a problem in his heart. Or else he wouldn't talk that way, wouldn't need to. It says here, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves again above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. That was a good thing to do. He didn't argue with them. He didn't fight with them. He just immediately got down with the Lord. Got with the Lord. All right. Come to verse 23. Numbers 16, 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, okay, now watch how this matches the book of Jude. Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You know what God said? Those men may be part of the congregation, but stay away from their house. Stop hanging out with that crowd that is speaking against the leadership that God set up. Get away from them. Now, he didn't say to throw them out of the congregation. He just said, stay away from them. Quit hanging out with them. Quit going over to their house. That's what it says. Well, why? Because God is going to lower the boom on those people, and he doesn't want you to get hit when it falls. He's watching out for you. I'll show you. Look in verse 29. Moses says here, If these men die in the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, well, let's see if he does. It's going to be an interesting, they'll die, but not like all men. It's going to be different. Okay, verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses. Okay, good thing you weren't in their house, amen? And all the men that appertained unto Korah, good thing you weren't hanging out with them, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. All right, now God, as far as I know, God doesn't do things like that today. At least I haven't heard of him doing anything like that. If you have, I'd be interested to hear it. But if Jude in the New Testament tells you to look back in the Old Testament and remember what happened in Numbers, what happened in Numbers is that Korah, a redeemed man, and his friends, redeemed men, on their way to the Promised Land, got destroyed. Because even though they were believers regarding the blood of the Lamb, they were not believers regarding the authority of God over their lives. You don't want to hang around that bunch. God's going to judge them. God's going to punish them. You need to keep your distance. Look in Numbers 16, 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. All right, now here's what happened. You got a bunch that were not at Korah's house when it went down in the pit, but they were allied with Korah in their hearts. Okay, so just I'll show you here. Come back earlier. Look at 16, verse 16. Verse 16, and Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron, tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. All right, so that 250. Look, Korah and his bunch, down they go. God swallows them up. The earth closes up on them. Then the 250 who thought, you know, that Korah, I think he's right. I think we need to change things around here. I think we need to rework the way things are going around here. Because I'm sick and tired of that Moses fella. What we need is a committee of 250. And God said, here's what I think of your committee. Boom! Just burned them all up. Burned up that them and their ideas. Now those men came out of Egypt because they believed God regarding the blood. They had blood on their doorposts. But once they got out of Egypt, they ended up in the same relationship to God as those Egyptians. Because in their heart they had the same attitude toward God that Pharaoh had. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I don't want to live like I'm going to hell. I want to enjoy the Lord's company between now and the time I die. I don't want to live with the threat of God's judgment hanging over my head because I hate the way he's running things. It's a terrible way to live. Number 8 is in chapter 16, verse 41. Look at this. This is amazing. Number 16:41. But on the morrow. Okay, now look, the earth has opened up, swallowed these men alive. You say, well, that's just a natural phenomena, you know. Under just that house? Just that one house? And then after the earthquake is over, it just closes right back up? And the geologists couldn't even find a scar on the ground? I mean, it's just gone. Erased. And then the crowd that was on Korah's side, fire comes down and burns just them up. Crispy critters lying there on the ground. You say, well, that was just natural phenomena. Well, how come just those 250? Now, after saying that, verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. You know what Pharaoh did? Remember Pharaoh? Every time God sent a plague, Pharaoh called Moses in and said, why did you do that, man? Why did you do that? You know what the children of Israel are doing? The blood-bought children of Israel, every time God sends judgment, they say, how come you did that, Moses? What did you do that for, Moses? In their hearts, they're no different than lost people. Verse 42, and it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. Uh-oh, God's back. He got mad and left. Now he's back. And the glory of the Lord appeared. 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation. Moses, why don't you take a little vacation? I don't want you there this Sunday because things are going to get ugly. I'll get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. Here it goes again. And they fell on their faces. I tell you, Moses, he's a good man. He's praying for these people. He doesn't want God to get them. 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense. Okay, that's he says put on incense. He's not telling him to put perfume on. He's telling him to take incense from the fire. Okay, and go quickly. Look, unto the congregation. Where's the trouble? It's in the congregation. And make an atonement for them. Well, wasn't the blood an atonement that saved their soul? It sure was. But now they need an atonement to not to save their souls, but to save their lives. They got to get back to a right relationship to God. Back to the altar, back on their knees, back on their faces. Why? Because their heart is not right. Make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. 48. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. That's 14,700 saved people dead. Why? God hates sin. That's New Testament. That's why it's in the book of Jude. All right, chapter 21. Two more. Chapter 21. 10 plagues on Egypt, 10 plagues on Israel. Why 10 plagues on Egypt? Unbelief. Why 10 plagues on Israel? Unbelief. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is saved. And you go to heaven. You'll go to heaven when you die. If you don't believe on him day by day, well, your flesh is not saved. And it will kill you. Your unbelief could kill you. Numbers 21. You say, brother, in this book of Jude, it seems like every week it's just all this hard, negative stuff. Okay, but be fair. Haven't you been tempted the same way this week as you were last week? Haven't you struggled with the same things this week that you struggled with last week? Well, then it doesn't hurt to hear this kind of preaching every week, does it? Doesn't hurt me, man. I need it. I don't know about you, but I say bring it on. Bring it on. Now, I didn't say I liked it. I just know that we need it. I need it. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Okay, what way? They're on their way to the promised land. They're discouraged because God isn't getting them there on the express route. Verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. I've heard people say, well, I sure would like to be like Moses. I don't think so. I don't think so. They spake against Moses, where have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, do you see the lie? Why did God bring them up out of Egypt? To enter the promised land. Why are they dying in the wilderness? It's not because of God. It's because of their unbelief. They said, for there is no bread. Man, it falls every morning. Neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. What? You just said there wasn't any bread. There's no bread. We don't like this bread. It's nothing to do. Well, you could do that. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then there is something to do. It's a common thing, I guess. You open the refrigerator full of food. Oh, there's nothing to eat. What you mean is there's nothing in there that doesn't require maybe a little bit of labor to put it together so you can eat it. That's what that means. You mean I got to walk over to the microwave and push those little buttons? We loathe this light bread. All right, verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What did they die from? Unbelief. Rebellion against the Lord. All right, one more. Chapter 25. Verse number 1. Numbers 25, verse 1. And we'll look at this again in detail when we get to Balaam in the book of Jude. Numbers 25, verse number 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Okay, living loose like the Egyptians do. Verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Okay, now they are redeemed by the blood of Egypt, or by blood out of Egypt, rather. But on the way to the promised land, they're bowing down to other gods. Verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun. Oh, that's mean. That the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. All right, so I'll finish up with this. And it's significant here in this 10th plague. Do you know how you cut somebody's head off in Bible times? Not with scissors, not with a laser beam, but with a sword. Okay? With a sword. The book of Jude said in verse number 5, I want you to remember. Okay, you knew it, but you've forgotten. I want you to remember how God dealt with the saved people that he brought out of Egypt. Okay? So here's what we've got. 10 plagues in Egypt. 10 plagues in the wilderness. 10 plagues on lost unbelievers. 10 plagues on saved unbelievers. Okay? Judgment as regarding life here on this earth. And here's the other thing. In that last plague, God showed us something. We are to deal with these certain men who are crept in unawares in the same way that God called the judges of his people to deal with them. Aren't we told to judge righteous judgment? We are. Okay? Aren't we told that a righteous man judges all things? That's what the Bible says. All right, now, yeah, we're in a new dispensation. Okay? We're not in the old dispensation, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What you have in your hand, what you have in your hand today is the sword of the Spirit. Okay? The Word of God. And when these certain men creep in, and this devilment raises its head in the congregation, in the assembly, God has instructed us to put a sword to it. Put a sword to it. Now, what they do in their homes, you can't control that, no. But God said stay away from their homes. Right? We learned that. But what they do in the assembly, that would bring the judgment of God upon others in that assembly, God says, you're to put the sword to that stuff. Get that sword out. Kill it. Slay it. Why? One of these certain men slain today may save 14,000 lives tomorrow. One time in the early days of the United States, they hauled the fellow to court, and the judge sentenced the man to be hanged. And the fellow's attorney protested, and he said, I can't believe you're going to hang that man for that crime. Why don't you just be merciful? And the judge said, I'm not hanging the man for that crime. I'm hanging the man to prevent the next one. Now, you know something? You don't take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and deal severely with these certain men when they creep in. You don't do that because you hate that man and you want to destroy that man. Ha ha, you're destroyed. No, that's not what it is. You do it because you love everybody else in the congregation that's going to be destroyed with him if he's allowed to continue. So that's what God wants us to remember, according to Jude, verse number 5. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have your holy word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a holy God, and you've clearly shown us that you want us to live holy lives. Lord, we gladly turn our lives over to you, to your authority. We thank you that your authority is clearly written for us in the Word of God. We're also grateful for the warnings, showing us what to watch out for and how to deal with those things. Lord, we just pray that you help us to keep our eyes open, be watchful, and to do what you've said to do about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.